Hey everybody, welcome to Two Non-Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy.
I'm Maria Shahada. We are stand-up comedians.
Stand-up comedians that are currently jobless because of the coronavirus.
We're finally going to be the doctors our mothers wanted us to be.
Is there anything that we don't know?
A lot, actually. We have a lot of questions. We have a lot of answers.
All of them wrong.
But we do have access to...
Google.
And a vet.
Oh yeah, my mom's a vet. She knows some stuff. We have to do this.
So every once in a while, we're going to invite her on. No, we don't. We're going to actually use this. Welcome to Two Non-Doctors.
Hi! Welcome to Two Non-Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy.
I'm Maria Shahada.
You were saying that you were, because you're getting ready, your album recording, I think when this comes out, it'll be done. Right?
It will be over. Wow. You don't have to hear that annoying beginning to like, hey guys. Buy tickets for my own recording. Yeah, I've been posting about it. I'm just terrified of Facebook groups. I'm just terrified of Facebook. I'm terrified of the internet. And like we've talked about it before, but I was like, I should post on Facebook groups. So I've posted on like Americans in London and Child Free by Choice. Because I have that joke about not wanting kids.
Those two groups are so like, what?
Yeah, because I'm always like, I'm so sorry. I know I have no right to be alive or anything, but like, I don't know if I can post here, but here's my video and it's whatever. And they're like, it's okay. You can post here. It's funny. It's a funny video. You're funny. Yeah. And I sold a few tickets from it, but I'm always just like, yeah.
But that's the smartest thing you can do. I've always said this when it comes to like promotion, like people are like, okay, you do comedy. So you have to get all the comedy nerds. And you're like the comedy nerds, there's like seven of them and they already like who they like. Well, you got to get these people that don't really care about comedy. Cause you know, every dating profile, I want somebody with a sense of humor. So everybody likes comedy, but there's just people that aren't like nerds like us that if all you have to do is have a through line. That's how I got into like the runner people is from Runner's World and my marathon jokes, or like my feminist sex position got some feminist, my cat jokes get some cat ladies. Like you gotta, and so like for you to be like, you know, okay, I'm an American in London. Already you have that connection that you're somebody talking about what it's like to be a foreigner where you live or, you know, whatever. But I think it's so funny because I've done the same thing. Like I did it for looking for somebody to take over my room. And it was so funny because I was like in these like comedy groups that are for like, you know, people saying like what bookers are booking, whatever, or like, it's all comedy related. And I was like, hey, I'm a comedian. I've never even participated in this group in the 15 years I've been a part of it. Anybody's poor and wants my room, it's like affordable for poor people.
Yeah.
If not, sorry I was here. Good luck to you. You're probably not going to make it. Bye.
Yeah.
I remember, this is one of, you know, those like few moments you make your parents laugh and they just kind of stay in your heart forever.
Yeah. Cause there was only one, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When I was getting ready, every time I've done a recording for an album or my special recording, like, you know, you put it out in the ether, but you want to make sure it's packed. So I'll go to like anybody that I've ever met ever, every person that said they wanted to come, like I start making lists. I start remembering people I met at a coffee shop 15 years ago. But like, clearly you're only in touch with the people you're in touch with. So I would be writing text messages and emails that are like, hi, I heard you had a baby 6 years ago. I hope that's going well. I have a special.
Totally. That's so funny.
My dad was dying because he was just like, I didn't raise you that way. I was like, yeah, but my shows were sold out. So
yeah.
And I know there's a bunch of people that block me after that. And that's reasonable. They actually have every right to. And
that's fine. I don't talk to anybody anyway. That's the attitude I need to go into these sorts of things. It's like, if they don't respond and block me forever, does my life change? No, it doesn't.
Nothing changes. now we'll just add an extra year that we haven't talked. Yeah. You're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Thank you. Let's talk about you and your background. What's happening?
This is, I moved. So here's some boxes. And there was already a hook and I was like, that has been out. That's been up, but out of the picture since we started the podcast. And I was funny as I was framing this, I bought this, I think in Kansas City. It's my, you know, one of the best scenes from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
So it's when he's trying to save all the animals from the pet shop and he has all the snakes and he's like, snakes.
Yeah.
So it's like and some artist did it, and I just love that it's like this artist rendition. And I was like, yeah, this is what I want in the background. So I love that it's my big head and then Pee-wee with snakes.
I just it just really embodies your just sort of world outlook and just the world is on fire and you're saving what you can.
Yeah. I also think it's just like, even if I hate you, I'm gonna take care of you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, for the most part. Okay. But
oh, there was a memory there that came up.
No, I just know you with people you don't like, and you're not as generous.
No, but I'm not. How many times have I been like, fuck it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you would have to really fuck me over not to do regular bare minimum. I'm not vengeful. I might not be helpful, but I'm not vengeful.
I got you. And so, but you moving is kind of it's an epic deal because like you've only moved like twice in the time that I've known you, which is half my life. So
yeah, we're very different. I've lived in the last 11 years, I've lived in two apartments, which is in the same neighborhood. So I moved to a different neighborhood. So it's a big move.
Yeah. And you're dealing with it well.
Thank you. I remember this. Okay. So I lived with a boyfriend 13 years ago. I can't remember. First real boyfriend, first time living with a boy that I was dating. And we stopped talking 2 days in, and I left 6 months in. So, and
he didn't want me around. So I never liked that arrangement anyway.
Oh yeah. That's garbage. I will never live with a man that's like, you can't have visitors. Fuck that.
Yeah.
So this is why we ended up stopped talking. So we move in, super stressful, you know, two different homes, putting stuff together. We move into this apartment, and then I think he had to go do shows or he had to meet, something happened. But like we move in and I'm like putting away dishes and unpacking boxes. And it was maybe like 2 or 3 days in that he's like not doing anything. And I'm like losing my goddamn mind because like, I mean, within moving in, I mean, the boxes, like I still have a shit ton of boxes and things are gonna be everywhere and I don't have a lot of furniture and blah, blah, blah. But like, I mean, I'm on it. And I remember he overheard me bitching to somebody. So he came home and I was bitching and I was like, fucking, he's doing nothing. And we just moved in together. And I'm just like complaining. And he came in and he was so mad at me. And I was so embarrassed because the truth of the matter, and this is before I learned to communicate, but the truth of the matter, said something like, I shouldn't be bitching to my friend. I should be like, hey, you know, I don't know how you typically move in, but I need stuff to be put away. I need to start my life and I need to get back into the like groove of things. So he overhears me bitching to a friend, super mad. I try to talk to him about it. He's icing me out. And then he never talked to me again. Like, it was like, we were already like, clearly the move was like, things were already shitty, but like within 2 days, things were shit. And then within 2 weeks, I was like, oh no. And then within 3 months, I was like barely staying there. And then 6 months I moved out.
What's crazy that you could last 6 months after like not speaking with each other for like after, like if you knew day two, like, I feel like I fucked up.
And then you think day two is a really bad fight. He's never stopped talking to me before. So there's no experience where this is going to go longer than a couple of days.
But that's what I mean. Is like day two, you're going, oops, I kind of fucked up. Week two, you're going, I feel like we're different. Month two, you're like, we're definitely different, but we can work it out. And then month six, we can't work it out.
But also there were so many things that happened that were like, I learned in hindsight, like there's no way I could have known, like even now there's no way with the information I had, I could have done better. I clearly could have communicated better. But
well, so could he. It sounds like he kind of iced you out and didn't really explain it.
He had these big ass headphones and he would come home and he would put them on and he wouldn't talk to me.
God.
And I would be so like, come on the show. Oh, it was horrible. I mean, I cried every single night. I would tap him on the shoulder and I'd be like, do you want dinner? He's like, if you want to get dinner. And then he'd put his headphones back on.
He'd say what?
He would go, if you want dinner, you can get dinner. Like, it was just like, like talking to a roommate that hates you. And I was like, oh my God. And I remember being like, oh my God, it's over. But he won't say it's over. And I just moved all my stuff here. Like, I was like losing. And he made more money than me. So it wasn't like we would negotiate. I was like, oh, I have to leave. It was such a fucking mess. I learned a lot from that.
Yeah, so that, Yeah.
That was like 10 years of learning after that.
Announcements?
You know what's funny? You said announcements, and I'm really thinking about getting a kitten. And I was like, oh, how does she know that that's my big announcement?
Wait, what? Why are you going to get a kitten?
So my two best friends from high school are pregnant, like, at the same time. So, like, they're probably going to have babies within, like, 2 months of each other. And I, like, you know, we're in a group chat, and I'm like, how are your fetuses, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, do you think I should get a kitten so we can raise our kids together? And they went nuts. And I've kind of been waiting to get a kitten, and I have to make sure Pasta's okay because she's sick, and I want to make sure she's comfortable and likes the new place, and I don't want to stress her out. But I'm thinking in the fall, I might get a kitten. I don't care. I don't care what your face is saying right now. I don't appreciate it. This is my life. If I want to birth a kitten, why are you so upset with my kitten decision?
I just, yeah, right.
Are we fighting about my life choices?
Pasta isn't even dead yet. And she's like, you're bringing in this new blood. This
placing her. That's so, I've had her for 16 years.
Yeah, like, Pasta's going to see it that way. She's going to be like, bitch, you can't replace me while I'm still alive. You just can't. B, you're always dropping Pasta off with your mom. It's just like, you're always going places.
Yeah.
You're always going places. Why do I say it like that?
I don't know. That's all. I mean, it's going to continue to be like that. That's my life or whatever. I'm never not going to have an animal.
All right.
So now I have two.
Okay. Are you going to name it Shahada?
It is on my list.
Yeah, I know.
I was leaning towards Tater Tots.
That's actually way better. What about, like, I have it. What about Shahada Tots?
My two favorite things.
Yeah.
It's on the list. I have a list of like 50 names.
That's fantastic.
It's really between coupons and tater tots.
No, why coupons? No. What?
I think it's hilarious.
Coupons? You don't even...
I named Pasta. No one was on my side. And now she's infamous. So.
Yeah.
Trust.
Coupons. I'm going to get a fucking lizard and name it Discount Code.
I discount bin as a name.
Jesus. Let's move on, please.
Okay. Announcements.
You're losing your mind. Are you like, I think you might be losing it a little bit. Oh,
100%.
Okay. Just making sure you know.
Boxes. I was like, I'm making a fort. Announcements, patrons, people that give us money, people that support us. Thank you. We always appreciate you guys. For anybody that doesn't know, you can get weekly bonus episodes, you can get monthly bonus episodes, you can get stickers, you can get early access to episodes, you can control our Googles, you can be a Google guest. Other things, stand up, whatever, my book sign. There's so many things that you can get by being a Patreon. So go to patreon.com/2nondoctors, when we're doctors. And thank you for everybody that already is a Patreon or patron.
Thank you to all our patrons on Patreon. Yeah, you can follow us on the socials. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube at 2nondoctors, the number 2 forward doctors. You can follow us on Instagram at 2nondrs. If you have time and you can leave us a rate and review. People say rate and review. Why can't I just do that? Leave us a rate and review. It helps us get seen. It helps us feel better. We share it. We love it. It makes our day.
Do you have any other shows? Because your album should be done by now.
Yeah, but go to my website, marishahada.com, and I'll have them posted.
Yeah. I am touring in the new Epicenter. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to handle this. I'll be honest. We'll figure it out. But I'll be in September, Oklahoma City, Fort Worth, Dallas, Austin, and Houston. I'm hoping just vax people come. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on. Fan mail?
Yes. Okay. Our fan mail. We have from Eric. He writes in, there's a great quote credited to a few different long dead white guys of note. Comparison is the thief of joy. Myself, especially in the social middle age, have a hard time not comparing myself to the successes of others, which I sense may be the root source of much of my mental health turmoil. When in the woods, I'm incomparable. I find it peaceful and quiet, literally and figuratively. It's an invaluable reset. I also concur with what you had to say of the merits of skill building. It feels good to learn new stuff and then apply it. The more you learn and the more you practice, the more confident you become. Depending on a person's level of introspection, this understanding can be applied to any facet of life found to be daunting. These are just a few personal things I get out of camping. Regarding the potty situation, when hosting group camps, I pack a portable toilet and enclosure stocked with quilted toilet paper and moist towelettes for those accustomed to comfort and privacy. At night, even I sometimes get spooked and will employ the buddy system. Ultimately, some people are just more comfortable indoors, which is valid. With adoration, Eric. Aw.
One of my favorite emails, because it was so like, this is what I get out of it, but I totally respect and understand where you ladies are coming from. As I'm like, bears, there's bears and murder. Like, her episode on camping was so aggressively like, you're crazy. And you're probably a serial killer too. And
yeah.
Like, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. This is what I like about it, but you know what? I respect it.
It's everybody's not for like, everyone. I get that. Like, you're more comfortable indoors. And I was like, I've never felt so understood, you know?
Oh, it was just like, I was like, it was one of my favorites. Thanks, yeah. Eric. I think in general, that's why I think I'm pro hiking and like nature walks and like spending the day. It is 100% the sleeping. And that's what I really, really, I think nature's great. I love trees. I want to say hi to a bunny. Like, I like all that. It is 100% that when I'm not conscious, I don't know what's going to happen. And I am a tiny person.
Yeah.
I feel that way with walls. I get spooked in my own apartment. I have had panic attacks. Well,
your art probably helps. Sorry. Yeah. Can't imagine why. Where's that bear with the knife in its hand?
So yeah, I think the fact that I get spooked with walls only makes the lack of walls even spookier.
Spookier.
Oops.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eric. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Googles.
Yeah. I'll start. Okay. Yeah, like the last episode, I was in so much eye pain. And I remember I was like rubbing it the whole time. And then at some point they were watering and I was like, I don't know what to do. It got worse. So my eyes just like, I woke up the other morning and the outer corners of my eyes were like red and swollen and gritty. And it felt like there was like sand in my eyes. I was so uncomfortable and I kept like trying not to rub it, but I kept like finding ways to like press the side of my face to just like sort of rub them. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And so I kind of actually, I don't know, it's called like eye conjunctivitis or basically it's an eye infection and it could be like bacterial infection or a virus. But I called the doctor and they prescribed and like eye drops. And I take those 4 times a day. It's got a lot better, but it was scary because I was like, are my eyes going to fall out? I just didn't understand. Like, I'd never felt that sort of pain with my eyes before.
They were itchy or they were like painful?
Both. So they felt sore, first of all. Like, they kind of feel sore now when I move them around, but like they felt sore, they felt itchy, and they felt like they were in pain and they felt gritty. And like leading up to that, I had dry eyes and like I was like, how can I have watery eyes but have dry eyes? But that's what like why they're so watery is because they're so dry.
Yeah, because they're literally like, well, let's just fucking flood it. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And so I kind of Googled if that was like a sign of COVID. And a lot of people had been like Googling that apparently, like asking if that's a COVID symptom. So I think a lot of people were experiencing that and it might be, but it's not like a popular sign of COVID. Popular signs of COVID include, what was I going to say?
So is it a sign of COVID?
Not like officially, but like a lot of people, like anecdotally, yes, a lot of people have been Googling it.
And then where did the doctor think you got this from?
He didn't really seem to care. He was just kind of like, okay, I'll prescribe you some eye drops and just take that 4 times a day.
So did he confirm that it was like a bacterial infection?
Didn't say anything like that. He wasn't my normal doctor though. Yes, Maria, how can I help you? So he was just like, I told him what was wrong and he was like, okay, have you taken anything for it? And I was like, well, I went to the shop to buy like over the counter stuff. And he was like, what was the brand? And I told him, he was like, okay, you need, and then he said like the ingredient that I needed, but I can't remember what it was. And then so he prescribed it to me. So he didn't really confirm anything. He didn't tell me what it was. My eyes are feeling better. Otherwise I'd be like, no, you don't understand. I'm going, like, I'm dying, you know?
Well, maybe you can kind of do the reverse of it, is look up what that brand or that thing and what it's used for. And it'll tell you that way.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I'll throw it away.
Because, like, usually, like, you know, like they give the little prescription thing that comes with it, and it'll be like, this common uses are blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I love the big giant eyeball. By the way, your eyebrows look incredible.
For your beautiful blue eyes. Oh yeah, my eyebrows. Yeah, Sarah, she does an amazing job. I just got them done before the podcast, and then I put a little.
I can absolutely tell they look incredible. She's so it's funny that you're talking about your eyes, and I was like, well, I fell into them.
She's fantastic. For the relief of eye symptoms of hay fever. So I think he just thought it was hay fever, and it could have been, because listen to me, itching, redness, soreness, watering, which is everything I had. But I think if it continues on, if there's no improvement after 2 days, and don't use for more than 14 days, see your doctor. So,
all right, 14 days, countdown now. I Googled mine and then I got sad.
Yeah, you sound really sad right now. I'm like, can you perk it up a little bit? We're trying to do a podcast here.
Well, no, I'm exhausted. That's why I pushed even this recording back one day. I was like, if I'm a mess I'm so glad I pushed it back. I was an absolute mess. And
yeah,
I'm just having trouble sleeping in my new place. I crash, so I sleep hard, but I keep waking up at like 7, and I normally wake up between 9:30 and 10, and I go to bed late. So I'm still going to bed between like 12:30 and 2, but I'm waking up. I like looked at my little Fitbit and I'm getting like maybe 5 hours of sleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on top of it, I'm doing like physical labor. And then I had a show last night, which the show is actually like a nice reprieve, like just like get out of the house. But
yeah,
I'm a mess. My Google is BPA free plastic really safe? So ooh. I'm buying some new stuff for my apartment, and you know, every kind of water bottle, whatever, is like BPA free. And then I was like, is that like, you know how like everybody tricks you? Like, you know how like some will say gluten free and it's like, A, it never had gluten to begin with. And
yeah. Really, this lollipop is gluten-free? That's awesome.
Yeah. Or it's like heroin saying it's gluten-free. Like, that's not the problem. Like, yeah. Gluten is not the issue. So, technically, is it safer? Yes. But, like, safe? They're kind of like, not really. Like, so it is safer, but it is not technically, you're not, like, home-free. So, BPA is bisphenol, B-I-S-P-H-E-N-O-L, bisphenol A, a chemical used in plastic manufacturing for hardening. It's dangerous because they leach small amounts of plastic into your foods and drinks. Of course, when it's heated up, that's why they tell you not to microwave stuff in plastic, because when it's heated up, it really leaks.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's why they've always told you not to put plastic or microwave stuff in plastic, because when it's hot, that's where the most leaching is. Same way they tell you not to, you ever leave a water bottle, a plastic water bottle, like a Poland Spring or whatever, in your car, they tell you not to drink it after it's been hot in the car, because again, yeah, that's leaching the stuff. So they replaced all this BPH with BPS and BPF, and it's supposed to be a more stable, therefore leak less, making it safer. So it is a little safer, but they basically say what you really should be using is either glass or stainless steel. So like, I know my brother, I used to have a glass water bottle, but I think I told a story on this where it like hit the back of a stairs.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Shards of glass. So it becomes a weapon pretty quickly. And then my brother uses like the tin ones, but I hate the tin ones. I think it makes the water taste weird.
Okay.
Although I prefer like soda or stuff in a can. Like, I don't like plastic bottles. I like a can. But then if I'm drinking stuff, I like stuff out of glass or ceramic stuff.
You ever had it in the box? In the box. Water in a box.
Oh yeah. I wonder, because you know how that is. It's like cardboard on the outside, but they put this inner thing so it doesn't leak. And that's why they say you can't really recycle those things. So
I thought that was the whole point of the box.
No.
Man, I'm just getting tricked left and right.
No, we really are. Like, that's the big thing, is they put some seal on it so that, you know, you're not just, you know what I mean? Cause you know, we all learned with paper straws after about 2 minutes, it becomes mush. So that they have to put like a sealant. And I don't know what that sealant is.
It's like when you find out lemons are waxed and you can't like grate them, like the outer skin in dishes, cause there's wax all over them. You're like, why?
What?
That's what the skin is for.
I didn't know this.
Oh yeah. Like if you just get like a regular lemon at a grocery store, it's waxed. So you have to get like unwaxed lemons if you want to like use the skin for anything.
I've been eating wax.
You've been grating like wax into your.
I've been eating so much wax. I mean, I eat sprinkles, and I think we learned.
Sorry, I just heard the sound bite for the end of the audio. I've been eating so much wax.
Well, also earlier in the pandemic, I was just like, "What are sprinkles made out of?" And they're like, "You wax. Are putting." It's so funny that I'm like, oh my God, it's leaching in micro plastic. And I'm just like, dude, I eat sprinkles. Like, yeah. I feel like if you eat Oreos, like you cannot be Googling this stuff. I eat so much garbage.
That's when I use candles on Johnny's, his wedding cake. Hi, where am I? When I use candles on Johnny's birthday cake and people are like the wax is getting all over the cake. I'm like, wax, like you can eat the candle and it will be fine. Like yeah. you've eaten and ingested so much worse shit in your life. I promise.
Yeah. You fucking calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I did learn, and I think I learned this from you, is that cucumbers have wax on them, and that's why yeah. you're supposed to peel them. But if you get like the British ones or the ones that are covered in plastic, those ones aren't. So like,
and also the little Persian ones. Those are my favorite. Those are fine.
Persian. Wow, this was a intense Google.
Yeah, man.
Learned so much. Watch out for these waxy lemons. Why do they do that, by the way? Do we know why they put wax on lemons?
I'm sure it's to protect from all the chemicals they're putting on it. Let me just check. Citrus fruit has wax applied to help prolonging the shelf life. It's like preservative. Yeah. That's annoying. Reduce the fruit drying out and make it look shiny and pretty.
Shiny and pretty, go fuck yourself. Like it's seriously. Like when they put dye in salmon to make it pinker or whatever. Like, come on, man. But like, that's pretty upsetting that like, they're just like, so it's pretty. And you're like, I'm putting that inside my body.
Yeah. It's like the way they dye egg yolks. So it just like looks brighter. Fuck off.
Let's get personal.
Yeah.
What was the most unsettling film you've ever seen?
Ooh.
You want me to tell you mine? Because it was right there.
Yeah, go ahead.
2008, Angelina Jolie was in a movie called Changeling.
Yeah.
I think what's mostly unsettling is that it's based on something that really happened. So if you don't know, in the 20s, there was the police were really corrupt in LA. Everything's fixed now. But this was in the 20s. Super corrupt. And basically what happened is this woman's son disappears, and 2 years later they bring back a kid and it's not her kid. And she's like, this isn't my kid. And they're like, the fuck, it isn't your kid. And they put her in an insane asylum because she's basically being like, this isn't my kid. But so they follow two different stories. They follow the story of this Angelina Jolie character where they put her in an insane asylum. And that part's like creepy as shit. And me and Em have like an inside joke from that. And I'll tell you that in a second. The other side of it is what happened to these boys, which is that a bunch of little boys were disappearing. And this is movies from 2008. So I don't care that I give it away. It's also a true story. Some dude was capturing little boys, putting them in cages and chopping up their body. It was so disturbing on so many levels, from like how the police like treated this woman, and God knows how they treated other people, but clearly knowing that there was somebody out there kidnapping boys and murdering them. And like, I can't deal with any of that. I just didn't know that's what it was. I would have never seen it if I knew that's what that movie was going to be about. But there's a part when Angelina Jolie is in this insane asylum, and this is in the 20s. I don't know if I said that. She's in this insane asylum. She's sharing a room with a legit crazy person, and she turns over and the crazy lady's there, and she's just like staring at her crazy. So when Emily, my sister, lived in New York, we'd be like stretching on a mat and I would just turn over and I'd be like, and she'd be like, God damn it. Like, or we'll like be in a hotel room and I'm just like, hi. it haunts my dreams, yet I still think it's hilarious. But it is, I don't know, harming kids, police, everything. I can't. And the fact that it's based on a true story.
Oh yeah, that's the worst part. I'm sure I can think of a better example, but because I haven't yet, I'm going to mention this movie. It's called The Cleaner. And it is, Johnny and I watched a lot of shit over lockdown. And this is just about a girl who cleans this woman's house or apartment. She's not even a cleaner. She's like building maintenance. But the woman's just like, do you think you can like clean my place? And she's like, sure. But we see the girl when we first, the movie opens, putting rats in a blender and blending it and then feeding it to somebody she has captured. And so then, but most of the movie, the cleaner. And so she's sort of cleaning this woman's apartment creepily, but nothing happens. But it's just disturbing. The rats in the blender thing, like, ooh.
Oh, I have another one. Oh, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And so disturbing. I don't know what it's called. This was like 8 years ago. And I don't know when it came out, but it was me and my friends were watching this movie where it's about a guy that's, crap. What is it when you put drugs in your body?
To get inject? Over?
Huh?
Inject? Consume?
No. The
party?
No. What is it when you put drugs in your body? Sorry.
Party.
Drug mule. Sorry.
What is it? Drug mule. Oh, I see. Oh.
You got a drug mule who puts all this heroin in his butt, like puts it all up there.
Yeah.
Gets caught and they put him, but they can't prove it because it's all in his body. So they put him in a hotel, like they lock him in a hotel to basically, because eventually he has to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But you know, he can't because he'll go to jail or die or whatever. So when it comes out, because eventually it has to come out, he puts it back in and like there's shit on it and stuff. Like he puts the drugs back in it. Again, it's one of those movies where like nothing happens, like you were kind of describing, but basically it's just like a dude in a hotel, fucking people are around, like he's being surveillanced or whatever. And then when it comes out, he shoves it back in and he eats poop drugs.
Poop drugs.
It was boring and horrific at the same time.
You know, shrooms grow in poop, so it's not like so out of the realm of the drug consuming world.
Oh, one of the worst movies ever. Like me and my friends, when it was over, I can't believe we finished it, by the way, we were all just like uncomfortable. Like we were all just like, you didn't enjoy that, right? Like nobody here enjoyed it. And we like, and then we cleansed our palate with like The Office or something. Like
you have to.
It was like, I can't just like go to bed now. This is horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific. And I think we were drinking and on drugs and we were like, this will be fun. It wasn't fun.
Yeah. No. There's sometimes when you're like, oh, this will be hilarious if we watch this stupid movie. And then you're like, why am I doing this to myself? Like, I remember a movie called Frogs. And I don't remember it being particularly scary. It was a horror movie called Frogs. It was just like a normal horror movie, but every once in a while they would cut to a bunch of frogs riveting. It's just the dumbest thing I'd ever seen. All right.
Okay. We did something. All right. Topic?
Yeah.
Okay. So topic is the carnivore diet, the all meat diet. My mom has done it, but I don't know for how long. And then my roommate did it. Still does it, but it's like very on and off. Like he'll do it for like, let's say like 3 months and then he'll fall off for like a couple of weeks and then he'll go back on it for 2 months and then he'll fall off it for a week. So, but for the, like, I have to say, I don't think it's something I would ever do, but I actually do think it has benefits for people. So first thing we should do is just break down, you know, what exactly that means.
No, the audio's off. The audio's off. 1 second. I'm going to pause it.
Okay. So all meat diet, just so we're clear, this isn't like one of those diets where it's like, you do this and you don't do this. Like it really is fucking just eat meat. Little bit of structure to it is like, okay, so steak, burgers, red meat. They really want you to have fattier cuts because that's where your like fat is. That's where you're getting your fat. That's like really important. So poultry, organ meats, you can have bacon, you can have sausage, Fish is okay, but again, they want you to have something fattier, like a salmon or sardines. And then you would have the whole egg because the yolk is important. I forget why. And then unlike keto, you can have milk, cheese, and yogurt. But most people don't. Most people genuinely just have meat. And then bone marrow, bone broth is acceptable. And then fatty meat products like taro and lard. And I think people use butter as well. But that's it. Like it's meat. And so the biggest thing people say is like, well, you can't get all, we're omnivores, which is, you know, meat and plants, where you can't get all your nutrition. But they actually say all you need is protein, fat, vitamins, and minerals at like certain levels. And meat technically can cover all those.
Really?
So, yes. So study-wise, they don't know the long-term effects. There's really not a lot of science. We basically just have a bunch of like Rogan bros that are doing it. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's just a bunch of like Tim Ferriss, like, I don't know if Tim Ferriss does it, but like Tim Ferriss-esque people, like these really kind of gregarious dudes that are just doing it and boasting it, and it's becoming more popular. But like, even there was a guy on Rogan that talked about it, but he didn't get any blood work. He was just like, I feel the best I've ever felt. And then he was like, what's your blood work look like? And he didn't get blood work. So, you know, you can feel the best you've ever felt and fucking be dying. So that's the biggest thing with it, is there's such little, you know, veganism has been, however you feel about it is however you feel about it. But there are studies and shit about veganism and vegetarianism and all that stuff. There isn't as much about the all meat diet.
Yeah, but whenever there's anything similar, like Atkins and keto and stuff, like people are able to say that it's not good for you, and you know, you're putting yourself at risk for heart disease and shit like that. And so, especially if there's no stipulations on this meat diet, so if they're not like meats, but like lean meats, if they're just like any meat and cheese, and it's just the Atkins diet, isn't it?
Well, Atkins is a shit ton of meat and a little bit of protein and fruit, and all meat is all meat, like comes from an animal. So it's like Atkins extreme.
So you're not eating any like broccoli?
Nope.
Ugh. I mean, the first thing I think about when I think of all meat diets is like how bad your like shits and breath must be.
So what they actually say is that because you're not taking in any carbs, your shits are like, they're not big. There's, you know what I mean?
No, like, I did keto for like a month and a half and I lost weight, but like, yeah. And then like a barely chat, but that's not good for you.
No, but it's as long as you're doing it, like, cause so think of this, there's people that are constipated. They tell them to take fiber, but nothing like fiber actually isn't that great for you. It's actually the absence of fiber that can actually be better for you. I've read something.
So did you read it on Joe Rogan's website?
No.
I mean, it feels like you are endorsing it a bit. Like, it feels like you're like, this isn't a bad diet.
No. I'm okay. There are real benefits, but I actually think the benefits are more the exclusion of stuff as opposed to the diet itself. What I mean by that is you take everything out except for meat. And what's happening is people are like, I'm losing weight. My skin is clearing up. I feel better. I have more energy. But that doesn't mean meat is good for you. What it does to me mean is the absence of something you were eating isn't there and was toxic. So you could be allergic to gluten. You take gluten out. It doesn't mean meat's good for you. It means gluten was bad for you.
Right. And you're not like having birthday cake, even though it's not your birthday, like I would, you know, if you're on an all meat diet.
That's what I think is happening. Like my roommate would go on this all meat diet and he always had like his skin was like kind of messed up and it would clear up within like 2 weeks. He would have like abs within 2 weeks. He would just feel better. He felt more focused. And those benefits are absolutely real. But in my mind, if you could get the same benefits just by cutting out legumes and eat, you know what I mean? And that's why when you do have allergies or whatever, they tell you to take out the main stuff, the milk, you know, the dairy, the gluten, the nightshades or whatever. And then you slowly add them back in, because then if you take everything out of your diet and you put legumes in and you fucking blow up or feel sick, you go, oh, my body doesn't like legumes. And you do it eat with each main thing. And that's how you figure out what you're allergic to. What I'm saying is people feel incredible on this diet, but it might not just because you're all eating meat. It's because you're not eating something.
Right.
So, people do say it helps with weight loss, clearer thinking, fewer digestive problems, which again, I think is the absence of stuff. Just the simple approach to eating. I also think my roommate is a kind of like a workaholic focused kind of dude. And I think by not having the same way, what was your friend that had the drink, the protein drink?
Soylent, like Soylent. Yeah.
I remember when you told me about Soylent like 10 years ago, and I go, I'm not completely on par with that, but I know people that just don't care about food and they're just like, I just don't want to die, get all my nutrients and go on with my day. And I think there is something to like, oh, I have a steak and I go on with my day. I eat when I'm hungry. Like there are some people that are just food is mechanical like that. The way my dad, I feel sleep is a necessity. If my dad could press a button and not sleep, he would absolutely do that. He does not, my dad does not want to be sleeping. He has. Yeah. And I feel that way about, you know, some people with food where they're just like, if I could just like move on with my day, they would. And I'm becoming more a foodie, not really, but like knowing you and being around you where it brings you so much joy, I can see you looking at this diet and being like, there's no joy.
Plus it's all brown. Like, don't you think, I feel like anything that's good for you mentally and physically has a color to it.
I mean, again, that's what we're taught. You make your plate a diverse group of colors. You know what I mean? Like, if you think eggs are a different color, salmon is a different color.
I mean, yeah, a little bit. green and purple and blue. None of blue foods. That was like in Bridget Jones. None of blue foods.
So basically it instantly removes all allergens and anti-nutrients. So I think that's why people kind of feel amazing. When I did paleo, which is heavy meat, but clearly not all meat, they would always say, make sure your stuff is clean, make sure it's organic, make sure, you know, these are happy chickens, make sure, you know, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of places are like, who gives a shit? I will say this. I to heal my stomach, I was making my own bone broth for years and it really, really helped. And I do think that like that has a lot of, you know, minerals. I think I did a Google about, it has electrolytes or something in it. Like bone broth itself is like incredible for you. But this is what's crazy. I want to write a list of, condiments. I forgot to put this. Condiments is salt and pepper. That's it. I think some people have a little bit of like maybe some garlic, whatever, but you're not supposed to. That's it. Salt and pepper. What was I saying? Okay. So I'll go through the benefits in order, like just so we have them, but then also tell you the drawbacks. I like this website because it was like carnivore diet, healthy, or these people are crazy. And so it's like the healthy stuff. And then it's like why we still think it's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, benefits, weight loss. So you're never really hungry because you're taking in so much protein and fat. And I've noticed that when I have done high protein diets for like weightlifting and working out and stuff like that, if you only eat when you're hungry and you have a lot of protein, you're not snacking throughout the day. So I think in general, you're taking in less calories, but also you're satiated the same way that like people talk like, why can I just eat like a whole sleeve of cookies and my body never stops? Well, it's because there's no nutrients coming. There's nothing your body doesn't know when to say stop because you're not taking in anything that it needs. As opposed to, we all know you eat a steak and in the beginning you're like, this is the best steak ever. And then towards the end, your body's like, we're done. Like we got everything we need from the steak. So
you know what's weirdly filled me up lately is oatmeal. And they call it porridge here, which I think is adorable. I feel like I'm in a fairy tale. But oatmeal is like, it fills me up for like a good 4 or 5 hours, which for me, I get hungry every 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then I put nuts and seeds and stuff in it, and I love it. I've been eating it every day, and I'm not like a rut food person, but like, I love it.
I ate the same oatmeal every single day for like 8 years.
Yeah, but was it like yours instant? Like it had like sugar cinnamon situation?
Yeah, of course it did. Of course it did. Trader Joe's, they don't even make this brand anymore. And it bums me out because I went off it just because I was like, I need to fucking eat eggs or whatever. I think it was going paleo. So I went off it. And then when I was like, I want oatmeal, I'm going to come back to it. They don't make my brand anymore. It had a little cramp.
It. Yeah, but you can make it yourself, and it's healthier because you can. Okay, that's a face that says I'm not going to. It really takes 3 minutes, but okay.
What is it, that Mitch Hedberg joke where he's just like, he's like, I made instant oatmeal and then I just chilled. Because like, it's just like, I don't. What am I doing? Like, what am I in a rush for? I butchered that joke, but that's fine. Okay, benefit. So they say. There is, like, people think this is how you have a heart attack, but they actually say in the short term, there are no issues. They have no idea about the long-term health, heart health, but the short term, it actually does show that it helps your heart. Lowers inflammation. Again, that goes back to what I said earlier, which is that it might lower your inflammation because something else was causing inflammation. So just taking stuff out has given it to you. So they said less achy joints, but again, I just think it's because you cut some plant or something out that was being problematic. For men, they say higher testosterone, which, you know, I don't want that as a woman, but apparently that's a thing. Fewer digestive problems. That was where the fiber thing is. Fiber is the thing that is causing like gas and bloating and sometimes constipation, even though when they want you to be more regular, they tell you to take fiber. And then people talk about it being increased mental clarity, that people just feel like less cloudy and just like kind of more present and stuff. I've definitely heard that from a lot of people. When I went off sugar, I felt that, which makes me wonder if this is just taking sugar out of your diet.
Because yeah, it feels like that. And it also feels like a diet men came up with to like counteract the veganism that's been happening in the world.
I can see that. No, I can absolutely see that, where it's just like, I like tofu, and it's just like real men eat meat and only meat. No, it definitely sounds like it came out of Texas. or like some, don't you wonder if like some of these things that become trends, like when you find out about it, and it was just like somebody that owns like barbecue stock was like,
yeah, the meat industries are pretty influential, so wouldn't surprise me if they came out with this.
Oh yeah, especially with, what were they saying, if we like vote for Biden, he's gonna get rid of cows, say goodbye to your burgers. And it's like, that's really not what he's saying. So basically Biden, and I think the Green New Deal, wants to lower emissions. I forget. I'm stupid. Whatever. They're trying the CO2 emissions. And some of that does come from cows, which is funny because if you had healthier cows, it wouldn't be as big of a problem. But it is animal farming that is a big problem. But that's not what they were saying. They were not going to say, like, let's get rid of meat. It was just, everything was about finding different ways to reduce. So people freaked out and they're like, if you vote for Biden, you're never going to have a burger again. And people are like, that's not what it says. Ridiculous. And then the last thing was just simpler dieting. You don't, like, I remember I was put on the FODMAPs diet. This was like 8 years ago. And it's the only diet that I was like, fuck this. Because it was, there's no, it's like, you can have broccoli, but you can't have cauliflower, or you can have this, but you can't have, like, I literally, it was pages and pages, and it didn't logically make sense. As opposed to paleo, it's like, just don't eat anything that's white. That includes rice, that includes flour, that includes sugar, you know, don't have anything packaged. Like, it was just, you don't have to, it's so easy to make the decision and not make the decision. Same thing with clearly the all meat diet. As opposed to FODMAPs, it was like, you can have strawberries, but blueberries will murder you. And you're like, why? 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 And I just, it made me crazy. Like, I was always like, I would at dinner and I'm like, oh, I can't have this meal because it has that one thing. Like, it was just,
yeah.
Now, what they do think is a big thing is that it might give you a higher risk of cancer, but not because meat causes cancer, but because plants have the benefit of being cancer reducing.
That's weird, because I always thought meat caused colon cancer, because as it passes through your bowels, it just like poisons everything going on there, like on its way out.
So what it said is that there's all these myths that your body doesn't actually process meat and it just sits in there. And that's like this weird like 80s myth that just kept going on. Like clearly your body processes it and whatever. But this does put you at a higher risk of colon cancer, but only because plants protect you from colon cancer, not because meat gives you colon cancer.
Okay.
So that's what they were trying to say. And then, of course, why they think this is crazy. If everybody did it, back to what I was saying, the environmental impact would be ridiculous. You know what I mean? Both from the CO2 emissions to just how many animals we would need. It's just not something that's sustainable if everybody did it. Besides the fact that they didn't write this, but meat's expensive and it's getting more expensive.
Yeah.
Especially like during COVID and all that stuff. Plants are delicious. Plants are good. They're good for you. Like they were even, you know how people talk about like the anti-nutrients, like plants have these things that try to poison people, but because they're trying to stay alive, they're like, technically that is true. But when you cook it or you do the stuff that we do to it, it's very minimal. So even the stuff that might have stuff that might not be the greatest for you, by the time you cook, and that's actually, as somebody that has IBS, they tell me to cook all my food because it's easier for your body to digest.
Mm.
And then just sustainability. Like I said, yeah, with my roommate, he would be on and off. He's probably been the most consistent. And I think he's been pretty consistent for, I want to say like 2 years, but he'll go bouts where like he gets really weird. Like he falls off and he wants a scone. And I was like, I've never desired a scone. Like, never. There's not one time that I was like, you know what?
I only ever eat scones when it's like presented in front of you at the like checkout counter. And you're like, I guess I'll have that scone too.
Even when they're free, I'm like, why would I have this scone? What am I going to do? This is no, but, I was able to do paleo. I did paleo pretty hard for like 2 years and then like moderate for another 2 years. And I want to go back on it. I genuinely felt better. And, you know, I'm still, everything is an excuse. Once I, you know, get out of COVID or once I move or like, so in like 6 years, I'll get back into paleo when everything settles.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely felt better, but that was again, just taking out processed food. That's really why I think I felt better with that. But I do think with any diet, for whatever reason you're going on it, the hardest thing is sustainability. Everybody, like nobody, doing a diet and trying to be social is so fucking hard.
Mm.
And I think for us, where you never want to be the problem. So people are like, oh, fucking Liz doesn't eat anything fun. Let's see if she can eat at this restaurant. And you're like, cool. Glad I'm the weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, with a meat diet, because there's always something you can eat. Like, can I have a steak with the side instead of broccoli? Can I have steak? Just have more like bacon and steak.
Does this steak come with more steak? Steak and three hot dogs. Is that something you guys do?
Can you just put a hamburger patty on my steak, please? I'm starving.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, just make it a sandwich. Yeah, I don't think it's something I would ever try, but the same way that people have told me they become vegan or vegetarian and they say they feel so much better, I do think the other side of it, of doing all meat, people could feel so much better.
Yeah. Well, that was my guess, was that like, cause you're eliminating sugar and processed foods, mostly processed foods. Cause you're probably still eating like cold cuts if you're eating the meat diet.
I don't think so. That wasn't on the list.
You can't have cold cuts.
The only thing they did put that I thought was a little shocking was bacon, because when I had bacon on paleo, you had to get like paleo, and they now make it, which is like sugar free, which is pretty good. I don't understand why we put sugar in it.
Yeah.
And I found a version that was honey instead of sugar, but even the sugar-free ones. So they tell you like, make sure it's nitrate-free and sugar-free if you're going to have it on the paleo. They didn't even say that. They're like, go for it. But I think you're having such minimal sugar and minimal processed stuff. But it didn't say cold cuts. It just said you could have sausage and bacon if you wanted to. I would love to. I would love to hear if anybody's done it. Like either tried it, know somebody that tried it, you know, fears about it. But yeah, I mean,
did your skin smell? I always feel like your skin might smell if you just eat meat.
What?
Just a guess.
Why would your skin
smell? I just feel like
when you sweat, your sweat is different.
Yeah, like smelly skin. I don't know.
That's fine.
Look, we're non-doctors. I'm allowed to say shit like this. Your skin might smell.
You gotta stop saying smelly skin. I think you're talking about sweat. I was like, I didn't think skin smelled.
Skin can smell.
I guess you can't smell your own skin.
Yeah, but you don't smell, Liz. I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's sweat. It's what's coming through your skin. It's not like just the skin, but if you're eating all meat, you might have sweaty, smelly skin. Your body odor. But I don't mean just your body odor. I mean like your skin, what's emanating off of you. If you eat all meat, I imagine it's a little unpleasant. It's just a, what I would think would happen. I guess no one's going to write in going, yeah, I stink.
Yeah. But yeah, we would like to hear from anybody that's done it. And you can write to us at two non-doctors. What is that? Two.
It's, oh, I thought you were asking me.
Two. Non-forward doctors@gmail.com. We appreciate you and thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
I don't care. I don't care what your face is saying right now.